So what's new, Cam?
Gosh, well, we've seen some sun. So we spent last weekend in California.
Mm-hmm.
Southern California, was it considered?
Central Coast.
Central Coast. So flew into San Jose and within 10 minutes was eating some of the best Mexican food and drinking margaritas in the sun. Apparently it was rainy the entire time we were gone, and we got back and Portland is beautiful.
It's too hot.
Well, so when we were in California, we went to the coast and we saw a tree that was growing out of a rock in the middle of the ocean, which I was just fascinated by. 250 years old.
Yeah, they had like a
cypress tree.
They had put up like ropes or something to kind of help hold it up, which is weird.
Yeah, it's funny. It's like, this tree's made it for 250 years, so now we're going to rope it off so it makes it for another 100. And I was thinking, like, doesn't the roping off make it sort of reliant on the ropes? Like, somehow it's been able to grow on its own.
It's like on life support.
Yeah.
Speaking of hot weather, I made an iced espresso recipe yesterday. Corey and I perfected recipe.
It was good, yeah.
Which I'm going to put up today on the blog. Yeah, I know.
I think I maybe, being one of your test subjects, drank a little more espresso yesterday than I usually do.
So good. It's I'm real fussy about an iced espresso. You know, I know Stunton makes a great cold brew and stuff, but I wanted something that I could make that was a little more fresh, that was like... It's always been a challenge, and even when I was a barista, to come up with something that was, you know, the equivalent of having a shot of espresso, but have it be nice and chilly.
Mm-hmm.
So I will share that recipe on the blog today.
What's the secret? Or do we have to wait?
Frankly, the secret is having an espresso machine in your office.
Wow.
I mean, if you've got that, you're like 80% there.
So what if you don't, though? Are you going to, you know, what are we going to do when we're camping? You're going to have to push this farther.
I think an AeroPress would possibly work, but yeah. I don't think that we would necessarily have ice, so I don't think
we should. We usually don't.
Yeah.
I mean, you should. Part of camping is having a cooler. That's
when you get a cooler and bring cold brew from some town or something. I was talking about how... I use Twitter, and I get a lot of flack for it because, like, if something goes wrong with some service or product we're using, the joke around here is, well, that I'll complain on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
But all joking aside,
I've made that joke.
Everyone has.
Guilty.
It's okay.
Yeah.
All joking aside, maybe I'll write about this, but that's a big part of how I evaluate a product or service is. Are they on Twitter? Do they respond to people? Because often that's the fastest way to get to have a conversation with the developer or the creator of a product.
Yeah.
And I don't think most people realize that it works that way, like that it's in the public. You can see their discussions with people. It might not show up on their timeline if you're just following them, but if you actually look at their profile, you'll see their direct tweets to other people, not private messages, but you'll see like when they... You know, at Ray, blah, 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 you know.
Yeah.
That's not my real handle on Twitter, but...
Blah, blah.
Oh, it is Briglib. But,
yeah. So you were recounting that you use two services that you'd like to see.
I mentioned them both, and they literally had a conversation with me in the loop about how to integrate those services. And that was amazing. It's like... Wow, they're having that. I mean, you know, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty real time.
Yeah. Unlike email, which, you know, that's pointless. I think the part of the advantage of doing it on Twitter is that it happens in public and people could see that discussion. And it actually, it's like being able to listen to the last 50 calls to someone's support line before you... buy their product or service.
Yeah.
Like, if you could do that, support would be a hell of a lot better.
Yeah.
But that's what it's like on Twitter.
You know, it's funny because I always think of writing directly to a brand on Twitter in that way as a last resort. Mm-hmm. For instance, I might try email or their support, wait a few days. It's, to me, it's like the thing you do when you just can't get through to them. Oh, finally,
right.
You take it to Twitter. And I feel like a bit of an ass doing that. Like, now, oh, great, now I'm publicly complaining. But what you're saying is Twitter's moved beyond that to being actually a real-time viable, like, perfectly fine to have those conversations in public.
I'm not
going to
say I don't sometimes just complain. But even when sometimes I just complain, I often do get a helpful reply. And having used Twitter for many, many years myself, I know that sometimes, well, and support, sometimes people are really grumpy. And that's just part of life. Sometimes they're really pissed at you and your product. And like, you can't change that, but you can help them and be helpful and often turn them around into like a loyal, excited customer.
Wait, you did support?
I did. I briefly, yeah, I know, isn't that hilarious? I briefly worked for Hewlett-Packard when I moved to Portland doing support for LaserJet printers. Actually, no, a networking card that went into LaserJet printers.
So people would call all day with their complaints.
Yeah.
And you
can
were,
you imagine?
And you were the person on the other end.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Sorry. Sorry for you and them.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Well, today we're talking to Chelsea Fuss, who's a very talented lifestyle blogger, photographer, florist.
She pretty much does it all.
Yeah. She's also worked with a number of our friends. She's worked with Kinfolk, Schoolhouse Electric, the great Rejuvenation, Hannah Anderson, and we even have some mutual friends. So why don't we listen to Chelsea Fuss? Hi, Chelsea.
Hi.
Thanks for talking to me today. Are you... Let's just start at the beginning. Are you from Portland?
I grew up in Olympia, Washington.
Oh, okay.
And New Hampshire.
Oh, so, and New Hampshire.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes.
How much time did you spend in New Hampshire?
I was there from like 4 to 9.
Do you remember the fall, the autumn colors?
Yes, it was amazing.
I missed that around here.
Yeah, yes. I loved New Hampshire. It's a really beautiful memory. I had kind of an idealistic childhood there. So
yeah, that's nice. Yeah, I guess I'm from Ohio, and it's not that close, but close enough.
Mm-hmm.
We used to get fall there.
Yeah, there's nothing like the falls back east and in the Midwest. Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
I miss those two things that I miss from the Midwest or back east is the leaves and the thunderstorms.
Yes. Yes.
I think we'd get some here, but we don't get any.
We just get drizzle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how long have you been in Portland?
I've been in Portland for 14 years.
Okay. And at what point did you decide to... You had a flower shop, right? You were a florist?
I did, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And at what point did you decide to do that? How did that start?
I had wanted to have a flower shop since college.
Okay.
I actually kind of like sketched it all out during my art history classes.
Okay.
I was actually working on the plans for my flower shop. I started the business in college and started working during the summers doing floral design for weddings.
Okay.
And then I graduated in art history and I went and worked for a few other people and went and got training in London. So it was probably around 2003 that I started my own my own shop.
Okay. And how was that experience for you, having what one would now call a brick and mortar shop? Did you enjoy that?
I did, in the sense that it's really creative, and
mm-hmm.
I loved like making the floral displays. It was very small. It was like a floral studio, but I acted as like a full-service flower shop.
Okay.
And yeah, it's super creative. I don't enjoy like the business end of it as much. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of overhead. Even if you're operating a really small brick and mortar, it's still a lot of overhead. And I didn't enjoy that aspect as much, I guess.
Yeah. Is it just in terms of like... like keeping, like paying the bills to keep the lights on, or like throwing away a lot of flowers?
Exactly. Like yeah. You're dealing with a perishable product.
Right.
So, but no, I loved my customers, and I loved, you know, making flower arrangements. I've always been passionate about flowers. I've been working with them since I was 12 years old. So it was just okay. Sort of something very natural. And I always knew I'd have a shop. But I'm also a little bit commitment phobic, and I like to do a lot of different things. So okay. After about 5 years doing that, I knew I was ready for something different. So,
and so this probably overlapped at the time that uh-huh. You started your blog. Is that right?
A little bit. I actually, after I closed my flower shop, I went to work at a desk job mm-hmm. back into retail buying, which is something I had done after college. After college, I worked for a really amazing startup in Portland called Poppy Box Gardens. And I received training there in floral design, and also I got experience with like corporate retail and buying and that type of thing. So after I closed my flower shop, I got this job working at a local catalog here in Portland doing inventory management, which is kind of the numbers end of buying. Mm-hmm. So it all sort of evolved. Mm-hmm. And that was interesting. I did that for a couple of years until I was really itching to do something very creative okay. again. So
okay. So your blog Frolic has been going for probably, I guess, 8 years now?
Yeah, like since that? 2006.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
How has it changed in 8 years?
Blogging has changed a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's become a business. Mm-hmm. I started my blog for fun. I just needed a creative outlet.
Okay.
And so that's purely what it was a creative outlet. And that was kind of the beginning of design blogs. So there weren't a lot. Then it just sort of organically developed into more of a business, and then I got interested in prop styling, and I sort of got into that through blogging. And so I guess you could look at my blog as kind of a business, but it's also like sort of a marketing tool for any other work that I'm doing.
Absolutely.
So,
yeah.
Do
you take the photos yourself for the blog, or are they usually?
I take a lot of the photos myself, and then I work with, since I'm a prop stylist, I work with a lot of different photographers. Mm-hmm. So I enjoy collaborating with different photographers on posts. And I work a lot with Lisa Warninger.
Sure.
A local, yeah, that you've spoken
with. Chatted
with
her last
yes.
season. Yeah, okay, yes. Cool. This might sound like a naive question, but I can't get a straight answer. But what is a prop stylist? What is that?
Sure. It's sort of a relative of the set stylist, I guess, except okay. that you are dealing with small props. I work a lot with tabletop props, so creating okay. like table settings. I just finished like a Williams Sonoma shoot, and mm-hmm. we were styling products. We styled a brunch story, and then, you know, glassware and tableware. So it's my job to kind of get that set up in front of the camera, get any backdrops that we need, source any table linens, flowers, and then I'm sourcing all of the props. Any mm-hmm. props you see on set, that's the responsibility of the prop stylist. Mm-hmm. And they're taking direction from the art director.
Okay.
So the art director is always my boss, and basically I'm executing their vision.
Did your background in art history help with that?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, this has just always been something that I've done. I mean, as a okay. kid, I was always making little vignettes and like photographing them. And I grew up okay. reading, women's magazines and very like studying art and photography. I've always been a very visual person. So I've been interested in prop styling since college. It's something I actually toyed with back then as well, thought about doing. So, mm-hmm. yeah.
Do you feel like it's like at some point you'd like to be the person in charge of those shoots, like
the art director?
Yeah.
I guess that's why I like blogging so much. It's a blank creative slate. Okay. So I can do whatever I want and it's not dictated. Well, I can't say not always. But most of the time, it's not going to be dictated by a corporation, by advertisers, by an art director. So, yeah, definitely. I mean, like, I work on a lot of different jobs. Mm-hmm. So I work with local designers, or I do test shoots just, you know, with friends and people I admire. But a lot of the time, like, my bread and butter is definitely, like, the commercial shoots. And those are definitely less creative, mm-hmm. you know, and more dictated by... Mm-hmm. money and corporations and a lot of different people's opinions. Yeah. So with my blog, it's just me and I can do really whatever I please with it. And that's what's so appealing about it. And that's why I kind of got into blogging in the first place. I mean, I guess not thoughtfully in this way, but one of the things I love so much about it, and I feel that this has changed so much, but that it's grassroots media. Mm-hmm. It's just people taking the media into their own hands and putting their work out there and putting thoughts out there and putting art out there that isn't dictated by money and big corporations. Mm-hmm. But that has kind of changed
a little bit. Well,
blogs are supported by advertisers, so.
Yeah, but even that, like, to me, that's not something that would dilute your vision or anything. But I think the challenge that I would guess for someone who's been blogging that long is that now you have so many tools that are outside of your control that are necessary probably to just keep your name out there. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I notice you do a lot of social media, a lot of, like, Pinterest. How has that affected your blog? I mean, do you ever feel like less people are looking at your blog than maybe your pins or your
definitely Twitter? Definitely. Yeah. Because I kind of, in a sense, took a couple of years off from blogging. I mean, mm-hmm. I've been blogging, but I took kind of a break from it the last couple of years, where I wasn't, like, putting my full energy into it because I was working on commercial prop styling jobs. So, yeah, it's definitely, like, I've had to really work to get the traffic back up to where I wanted it, mm-hmm. Which is, like, something I didn't really do in the beginning because I was just starting it for fun. So it's mm-hmm. definitely become more of, like, a business. But there is so much more social media now. I mean, since I started my blog, then Twitter has come along, Pinterest, Facebook is a lot bigger of a deal, and Instagram. So definitely those are all outlets. And I enjoy the social media, but mm-hmm. I try to have boundaries about how much time I spend on it. So, yeah. But definitely, yeah, people have short attention spans, so they're going to see it on Instagram or Pinterest before they visit your site.
Right.
So
you kind of use those as sort of tools to get people to your site is the goal?
Yes, yeah. Definitely. Okay. Yes.
How do people usually find you to hire you? Is it you have a portfolio, or they find you through the blog or references?
I'd say 90% of the time it's through the blog. Mm-hmm. 100% of the time it's from the internet.
Right. Okay.
You know, just something on the internet. I can't always track where they found me, but you know, a lot of art directors, they use Pinterest, and so they might see my work on there. And I have a couple of portfolio sites out there too. Mm-hmm. I don't really have my own site at this point, and I don't own a business card, so
okay.
It is really funny how people continue to find me because I don't actually market my work except through my blog. So,
like, how do you find advertisers for the blogs? Do they just read it? And
they come to me normally. Okay. Yes, yes. Nice. Some of them are readers, and a lot of them are small businesses, and I love working with them.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, it was just small businesses I'd already posted about and products that, because in the beginning I was posting more just, like, products I loved. And so it was more just people I'd already posted about. And so it made sense to make them part of the site.
Yeah. So you mentioned trying to limit the amount of time you spend on social media, and I've certainly told myself that, but, like, what is that limit? Like, how much time do you spend a day on social media? Because it seems like you have to be doing that a lot.
Yes, you do have to be consistent, you know, and I have a lot of friends and people that have said, oh, I want to start a blog, and I'm happy to help them get started. But then it's like, well, I don't really like being on Twitter. I don't like putting parts of myself out there. Mm-hmm. So you actually have to kind of enjoy that. Mm-hmm. But as far as how many hours a day I spend, it just depends on the day. I mean, there's some days where I'm out on set, so I'm not on there at all. Mm. But yeah, I'd say probably a couple of hours a day.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that counting the cat photos and stuff, or is that separate time?
I think I might be the one person in the world that doesn't respond to cat photos. Oh, okay. I'm not sure what that says about me, but... Yeah. But yes, it is easy to get distracted. So you really have to come up with rules for yourself, because you could play around on the internet all day and count it as work. Mm-hmm. And but you wouldn't actually be getting anything done or progressing or evolving your business. So,
mm-hmm. So when you work with a, you're doing work with like Lisa, for mm-hmm. instance, what is that process like? Like the two of you, because I noticed I looked at a site full of very attractive, lovely photos that you guys had done together. Like, how is that process? Is that, I mean, there's clearly this, I'm guessing there's no art director role.
Sometimes, for sure. Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I mean, we've been working together since 2009. It's all just very seamless. We usually meet together with the client to find out what they're looking for. There's at least one meeting. And then I work closely with the art director. But the cool thing about working with Lisa, we really let each other just, like, she lets me be the prop stylist, and I let her be the photographer. So that's one of the reasons why it really works. And then there are certain kind of issues or things that we really trust each other on, so we definitely will overlap a little bit. Like, if I'm kind of feeling stuck on a set and it's like it's not working on camera, you know, we've tried a lot of different things, I'll definitely reach out to Lisa and she'll give me her opinion. And the same with the photos. Like, a lot of times I'll be involved in the editing process, mm-hmm. Which is kind of an excruciating process, trying to choose photos. Mm-hmm. So definitely we overlap a little bit, but for most of it, we just let each other do her job.
Okay.
So, yeah.
How did you guys start working together?
I was, let's see, back in 2008, I had left my job and I was blogging, but I was also freelancing a lot, mm-hmm. For different florists and also in prop styling. And I was freelancing for a florist called Ink and Pete over on North Williams.
Sure.
At Pam's shop. Yeah. And Lisa took photos for her. So she came into the shop and Pam introduced us. Pam introduces a lot of people. She's mm-hmm. a great networker. And we worked on like a stationery job together. And then I had the idea to start a street style blog. And so we just kind of started that for fun to see, you know, where it would go. I thought it'd be interesting for Portland to have a street style blog, because I noticed a lot of interesting things happening here with fashion in sort of a different way, a Portland way. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted that to be seen in the street style scene. So I recruited Lisa to help me with that. And from there, like, we started working on jobs together, and people really respond to our work together, and we enjoy working together. It's so important to have a photographer that you enjoy working with, because that relationship really has to work on set, because working on set can be intense. So you definitely want to be working with people you like.
Mm-hmm. Do you have favorite flowers?
It depends on the season.
Okay.
Spring is my favorite. I kind of have an obsession with violets.
Okay.
Yeah, when I had my flower shop, I ordered these violets. Actually, they were really popular back in the early 1900s, and also in like the mid to late 1800s, violets actually were a big kind of crop for the floral industry, and they would sell like the little tiny violet bouquets. If you've ever seen My Fair Lady, she like sells violets. Mm-hmm. So that kind of thing was really popular, but it died out probably in the maybe like the 50s or 60s. Because people put more value on flowers that lasted longer, and violets only last for about 3 days. I just think they're the most charming flower, and they smell really good. So when I had my flower shop, I actually was like one of the only florists, probably the only florist I know of, like at least in the Portland area, if not like the Northwest that was selling violets for Valentine's Day, and I ordered them from one of the last farms. There's only a few violet farms left in the world. And this farm, actually they no longer sell cut violets. I'm really nerding out on violets right now.
No, that's but, good.
So they shipped me violets, and these women came into the shop, and some of them were in tears. They hadn't seen these little violet bouquets since their childhood.
Wow.
And I just think they are so charming, and I can't walk by, like, right now they're blooming in Portland. I can't walk by a patch of violets without touching them and maybe stealing a few and sticking my nose in there, so.
Huh. What are those, I'm totally spacing the name of those, yellow flowers that are out everywhere now.
Daffodils.
Yeah, daffodils. we just got this, we moved into a new house a few months back, and I don't think my wife has ever really said a bad word about it until the other day we were coming up the street, and she's like, ew, yellow. It's like they're all up our street are these daffodils.
Oh, she doesn't like them?
I think she just thought it was too much.
Oh, that's funny.
I was
funny.
Like, you know, it's like, you know, they're daffodils. They're cool.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, maybe if they were violets, she wouldn't mind. I don't know.
I pretty much like every flower. I think there's some I like more than others, but I think it just depends on what context they're presented in.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay. Do you currently do classes on flowers?
I do. I have an online class that runs every month.
Okay.
And it's set up through the nicolesclasses.com website.
Okay.
And it's a really fun class. Actually, Lisa filmed the class. It's a 4-week course, and each week you learn how to make a different type of arrangement. And then you also learn the basics of working with cut flowers. Oh. And it's fun. I have students from all over the world. Right now I have a student in Singapore. I've had students from Australia and China. So they provide their own flowers, and then they'll make the arrangement, take a picture of it, upload it to our online classroom, and then I leave feedback for all of the students. And then the students can see each other's work as well.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Huh. It's really fun.
Wow. Okay. I noticed you... asking about getting a Swedish visa. Is that true?
Oh, you were eavesdropping on my Twitter.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I am trying to. That's kind of my dream. I just love Sweden, and I've spent a little bit of time there. A couple of summers ago, I went for a few weeks, and then back in 2009, I lived in the Stockholm Archipelago out on this island for about 3.5 months. I'm really interested in travel, and I guess I like having a job that I can kind of bring with me.
Mm-hmm.
So right now I'm kind of looking at, I'm also really interested in getting back to gardening and learning about organic farming and permaculture. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping this summer to go and fall to go work on some farms, and one of them might be in Sweden. But
okay,
yeah.
When you say a job that you can sort of take with you, or whatever, mm-hmm. Are you talking about the blogging?
Blogging and my flower class. Yeah. Obviously, okay. Prop styling can't really go with me necessarily.
Right.
So.
Right. Okay.
I'll probably be taking some time off from that this summer.
Where was your last trip to?
Last fall, I went to Buenos Aires for 5 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
How was that?
It was really fun. My parents were actually living there, so I just slept on their couch and brought my work with me. My work always comes with me. And so I go and I just work at local coffee shops, and I wander around, and I like to visit the local gardens and shops and meet people. The fun thing about blogging is you probably have a friend wherever you're going in the world that you can meet up with.
That's true, yeah. So, interesting.
So it's really fun.
Did you find someone who read your blog there?
I met up with a few different people. Yes, I met a lovely French girl who was living in Buenos Aires who had read my blog, and she emailed me, and we just really hit it off. And another blog reader / friend of a friend that I met up, and some shop owners, and yeah, it was really fun.
I have to blog more. That is a perk I didn't even think of. Does that, is there anything that you would say right now in Portland? I noticed you had written up, is that correct, something on Megan's new place?
Yeah, fieldwork. Yeah.
Is there any stuff, I mean, that's obviously exciting because she's awesome, but is there any other stuff in Portland that's like really exciting to you right now?
Oh, yeah, I was really excited about Megan's shop. That one just really hit a nerve with me. I'm kind of a cheerleader for the local florists. Let's see, I love Alder and Company. You mean that's in terms of just businesses or anything?
Just anything,
yeah. I mean, there's so many things happening in Portland right now. The city is booming.
I thought it was really cool how Schoolhouse Electric, and this is, I'm just throwing stuff out here, has a florist in the...
Anna. The yeah. She's wonderful. And now she has another outlet. A grocery in Northwest Portland also, I believe.
Okay.
Yeah. I love Schoolhouse. I love what they're doing. Lisa and I shot their catalog last year.
Right, which is a lovely catalog.
Thank you. Thank you. That was really fun. I really enjoyed collaborating with Brian and his team. And I got to help out a little bit with the art direction as well. He's really open to collaboration. So that was really fun.
We actually spoke with him a few weeks back. So he'll be on the season two.
Oh, yay. Yeah. Okay, good.
I'm hoping to get a... So how was that shoot? Like, did you do that like in their warehouse or?
It all over. We shot some at Brian's house and all over the Schoolhouse building down on the showroom, up at the top floor. It was like 95 degrees in the summer. So it was definitely an intense shoot. And it was about 2 weeks long with about like a month of preparations.
Wow.
So.
I can see how that would get intense.
Definitely.
Especially in the heat.
Yes.
I'm a big baby.
No air conditioning up there. Yeah.
Huh. Cool. Well, Chelsea, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Cool. Why don't you tell us about this album that you've been listening to with our kids lately?
Right, so I discovered that my iPhone has... an Amy's album, The Amy's, who is you, Ray, and who's the other member?
The one we've been listening to. RC.
You and RC. Yeah. And RC is now, he has a coffee roaster.
RC Gartrell, I believe he's roasting coffee. I haven't really talked to him much lately.
So I found it and started playing it in the car when you're not around, and the girls and I sing to it. And
very cute.
It's very cute. But I know that you're not a big fan of hearing your decade-old music, although I will tell you, so there are a couple songs...
It pleases me that you like it, but...
I'm going to say that there are a couple songs that I actually didn't, like, wholeheartedly think that you should follow through and record. We were at the Cheese Bar last night.
Yeah.
And there was a moment where I thought one of them was on. You know, because it just feels like it would be playing among the music that we listen to. And I was like about to start singing along. And I was like, oh, wait, no, that's the... I'm like starting to sing the, you know, Ray's. So, but yeah, they're pretty impressed. And so they kind of busted me the other day when they asked you if you would play it. Daddy, play your music. You're like, what?
That's funny.
Yeah. So, gotta find time for that.
Sure.
You sound very convinced.
Maybe I'll end each show here with one of my tracks. People can tell me if they like them.
Do it.
Okay. Be a little hidden secret bonus gem.
Yeah, because nobody needs at the end of an interview to hear us talking again. Just start playing your music.
Oh, I mean after that.
Oh, sorry. No, this is great.
That's fine.
Fascinating.
It's fine. My allergies are bugging me.
Okay. Cut. Nobody needs to hear
we'll
that.
We'll feel a little stuffy.
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't care.
All right. See you next week.
long after steam.